It feels like it's afternoon already. It's not, it's morning, and it is Resurrection Sunday. Blessed Resurrection Sunday to all of you. I said that was an awkward statement. Why didn't you just say Happy Easter? I could. There's nothing wrong with saying Happy Easter, but I'm being very specific in saying Blessed Resurrection Sunday. Because if I say Happy Easter, we have certain ideas about happy. People even write songs about it. Don't worry, be happy. And if I say Easter, what pops into your mind? Who knows? They don't even understand where that word came from. And even if we know how it first originated, we'd have to be told what it meant. But when I say resurrection, you know exactly what that means. So again, you can say Happy Easter. I'm not saying you can't or there's anything wrong with that. But I'm saying Blessed Resurrection Sunday, because that's what today is. Though those of us who are in Christ celebrate it every day. Why is the resurrection so important that I want to make sure I say Resurrection Sunday? I mean, can't we just, you know, Jesus was a real good moral teacher. He was an example. Can't we just leave it at that? Well, that's like saying, hey, check out this car. Is that not good looking? Look at those wheels, tinted windows, spoiler on the back. Yeah, it doesn't have a motor, but that's okay. Isn't this a cool car? Or this evening, you go to sit down. Wow, the table is set so beautifully. There's candles, flowers, the fine china's out, cloth napkins, wonderful. Does the plate really need to have food on it? Yeah, it does. Otherwise, it's not a meal. And if your car does not have a motor, it's a giant paperweight that has grass growing up around it or through it. It's not what it needs to be. It does nothing. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, we should go home and go back to sleep or drink some more coffee and eat some more croissants or bagels or oatmeal. Because if he's just a good moral teacher, he's a dead one. He's dead. Secured nothing. Accomplished nothing that can transform our lives today, that can make us right with the one who created heaven and earth. But he has been raised from the dead, and he is seated at the Father's right hand. And all who have faith in him are seated there too, not physically now, but that is secured because he has been raised from the dead. I want to look at 1 Corinthians 15 today, almost the whole chapter. Fear not, I am not going through each verse. Going to look at a handful of verses. Each one bringing up what hinges upon the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Each one of these little paragraphs telling us why it's so important that Jesus was raised from the dead. If you have an outline, they're there with the verse breakdowns. Again, I'm not going through every verse. I'm not going to labor over each one of these, but move through these quickly because there is so much in this chapter because of the depth and the riches of what is true because Jesus is risen. Join me in prayer first before we turn there. Lord God, we are able to talk to you now and come before you because Jesus has been raised from the dead after having willingly given his life as a sacrifice, upholding your justice, demonstrating love as we considered on Friday, and making possible mercy, grace, forgiveness, eternal life. Father, we come before you because Jesus is raised before your throne of grace and ask that as we look to your word again now, that you would have mercy upon our hearts, our minds, open our eyes to consider again or more deeply or maybe for the first time all that hinges on the resurrection, that we too, by grace through faith, would be alive now and forevermore in Jesus, your Son, your Lamb, Lord and Savior, raised from the dead. Father, we grant this. I ask that you grant this for your glory and to our blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Corinthians 15, not going to read the whole chapter, I'm going to read it section at a time. First two verses. Now I would remind you, brothers, Paul writing to the church at Corinth, he had spent over a year there. He left to go on with his missionary journeys, as we call it, and they started having issues. He wrote them one letter. He visited them. He wrote them this letter. One of their issues was listening to ideas about the resurrection having not happened. And so he addresses that in this chapter. Now I remind you, brothers, speaking to those who have faith in Christ, of the gospel, that news that is good about Christ. I preach to you which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. Very simply, the point made in this section is that the gospel, which is nothing without the resurrection, is the only message that is unchanging and able to save. Since I remind you of the gospel I already preached to you, you don't need anything else. You don't need a new one. There's nothing to tweak, nothing to add, nothing to subtract. That's what was going on in their midst. The original news they heard from Paul about Jesus, the Messiah, raised from the dead, was being tweaked, perverted, twisted. So he reminds them of what he originally told them. It's an unchanging message. We could be anywhere in the world right now, and it's the same message. We could be at any point in time in history, and it is the same message. And it's the only one that is able to save, verse 2, and by which you are being saved. You know, Paul Revere had a message, didn't he? What was that message? The British are coming! The British are coming! Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm sorry. That was a message. And in a sense, it saved. But it doesn't save today. It was a time-bound message for an immediate, finite salvation. But this message is unchanging, and it saves. Verse 3, and now he reminds them of what they've already heard. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of them who are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace towards me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. So again, he ends that paragraph with saying, we preached it, you heard it, I'm reminding you of it now. It's this simple. This is the unchanging message. Verse 3, when speaking to Christians, Christ died for our sins.
Verse 4, he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, all in accordance with Scripture. And then he spills much ink, 5, 6, 7, that he had eyewitnesses that he was indeed raised from the dead. Side note here, people will die for a lie, but they don't die for it knowing it's a lie. They die for it believing that lie is the truth. But who's going to die for something they know is a lie? Those first eyewitnesses, some of them died. One of them died while the very man writing this letter by the Spirit of God was watching everyone's jackets. That's why he says, verse 8, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God. There's more ink spilled, more emphasis on the resurrection in this paragraph, because that's the whole chapter is emphasizing this, because they were listening to a different and altered message, one that is empty without the resurrection. But because of Christ's resurrection, this unchanging message that is able to save, anyone can be saved. Even a murderer. Paul wasn't only a murderer vicariously by standing there watching everyone's cloaks while they picked up large stones and killed Stephen. But he himself calls himself that when he recounts what he was before he came to know the grace of God in the risen Lord Jesus. Anyone can be saved. No matter who, no matter what gender, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what you have done. Because Jesus is raised from the dead through faith in Him, all your offenses, which are ultimately against God, are forgiven. Verse 12. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testify about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. And you are still in your sins, then those who have fallen asleep, that's a euphemism for died, in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people to be pitied. Because of the resurrection, there is provided in this message the only real hope. Capital H. All other hope is little h, and it's equivalent of wishful thinking. I hope that whatever, fill in the blank. It's wishful thinking. But if you got a registered letter to your doorstep, the mailman made you sign for it, and you opened that letter, and it said, you are the winner of sweepstakes, whatever, in the amount of $200 million, and on such and such date, you are going to get that, and you know about these sweepstakes, and people have won them before, and it's official, and the money is FDIC insured and everything else, then guess what? You don't have to have wishful thinking that you're going to receive that money on a certain date. It's a sure thing. Now you're just waiting for it. You're just waiting for that day. Well, because of the resurrection, we don't just have wishful thinking that when death comes, we'll be in a better place, that we'll be with God. We have hope, a sure confidence that we will be if our faith is in Christ, because Christ has been raised from the dead. or to put it in a negative sense, but really the sense in which the resurrection is, imagine if you were guilty of a crime and someone said, I will serve your prison sentence for you. And they go to prison for you. You're not in the clear, so they've served the whole sentence and they get let out. But if they serve that sentence for you and they've been let out, then you know you're cleared. That's what is at stake in the resurrection. Not some martyr who is a good teacher, but the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Did he? How do we know? Because he's been raised from the dead. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then in his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and authority and power. Because of the resurrection, Christ brings life to those who have believed in him, having died for their sins, been buried and raised from the dead. Adam, the first man, brought death. He had a physical body, and that physical body has to die. But life is possible because of the second Adam, the Adam who succeeded. Jesus is still dead, though. He's no different than the first Adam. Can't give life. Can't do anything about this body that is wasting away and decaying and will come to an end. But Christ has been raised, and he brings that life where an Adam brought death. If you're following along in your Bibles, jump all the way down to verse 35 now. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. That whole paragraph is an illustration. It's an example that there's differing kinds of bodies, so to speak. Starts off with a gardening or farming example. You plant seeds, and not even all seeds look alike. But when the seeds grow, they grow into a plant different from the other seed that was planted. But what grows from the seed that was planted is different from the seed itself. You follow that? Seed's one body, the plant's another body. And then he moves on to people and animals. And then even stars differing in glory. The whole paragraph is an illustration making the point, just as there is in these examples differing bodies, so there is also. And that's how verse 42 starts out. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there's a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it's not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are all those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. See, in the life that Christ provides because he is raised from the dead, he secures for us that we will have a spiritual, a new body, which we must have. A different body for different things. Different bodies in the plants, different bodies in the heavenly stars, people versus animals. We have that body that is earthly from that first man who was made from the dirt, but we need a new body, a spiritual body. And in his resurrection from the dead, Christ secures that for all who believe in him. Now, we find the idea of the resurrection, culturally speaking, wonky to say the least, weird, fantastic. And yet, just about everyone, when someone's died, says they are in a better place, or they are this and they are that. We can't get away from the fact that there is this innate sense that we exist beyond this body, which we know will cease to exist, which the older we are, the more we can't get away from that fact either. So we talk about a spiritual reality, and we talk about people going and having a spiritual reality when they've died, but generally speaking, culturally speaking, we laugh at the idea of a resurrection where they get another body. But consider this. If we believe that, generally speaking, why do we cling to this body? Why do we not want to let it go to our last dying breath? Missing parts held together by medical duct tape, so to speak. Quality of life continues to decline, but we cling to this life. Why? Because along with that inescapable concept, that idea that we're more than this body and we should keep going on in existence, we can't fathom that in a scenario where we're separated from this body. And that's right, because we never existed without a body. Think about that. We never existed without a body. We're not eternal in the sense that we've always existed, infinite. We were brought into existence, but with a physical body. If we go back to Genesis chapter 2, God takes some dirt, boom, there's Adam. Physical body, spiritual person. Well, now this body's decaying. It's wearing out. And even if it's not, there might be a Mack truck with my number on it. Oh, he's in a better place. But it's a shame he doesn't have his body anymore. We need a body. We particularly need a body if we're going to be in eternity. Christ provides that body because he has been raised from the dead. We cling to a physical reality. We know there's a spiritual reality. We scoff at the idea of a resurrection from the dead. And yet, because Christ has been raised from the dead, those two realities that we hold to in a contradictory way are provided for in him. We are made alive spiritually in him, reconciled to our Father in heaven, awaiting the spiritual body that is of a different kind, but still a physical body, just as when he showed up to the disciples and said, you want to, especially Thomas, you want to feel the wounds? You want to see where the spear went in? Here I am. Or on the beach, and he ate with them. You know what happened? He put the fish in and it like popped out? No! He's the first fruits. Ah, we're going to get a body like he got. How come? Well, because he got a body. How come? Because he's been raised from the dead. It is only because he has been raised from the dead that he can secure for us this new spiritual body. which is required for the eternal reality that he has also secured for us. Verse 50. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Again, that's a euphemism for die. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable. And this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is in sin, and the power of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's resurrection from the dead secures for us the ultimate victory and the ultimate prize. What's the ultimate victory? Death defeated. Not just, oh yeah, he's in a better place. Let's follow his example. What a moral teacher. No. He has a resurrection body. He ascended before witnesses. He is seated at the Father's right hand until he returns. And then when he returns, all who have believed in him will receive their new spiritual resurrection bodies. If they hadn't died before he comes back, they'll get it on the way up. But everyone gets it. It's all part of the fact that he has secured for them the victory over death. If he's just a good moral teacher and he has been raised from the dead, he's still dead. The opposite of Monty Python. Not dead yet? No, it's still dead. So what should we hope in him for? Nothing. But in being raised from the dead, he conquered death itself. Not just for a spiritual existence, but for an eternal existence. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable, because the kingdom of God has always existed. And so to exist there eternally, imperishable, we need this body. Death must be conquered. He conquered it. We get the new body. And so that prize to be in that kingdom forever, in the very presence of the one who made heaven and earth, in the presence of the one who died for us and was raised from the dead, is ours, secured, more secure than that letter in the mail that tells you you've won. Just wait to such and such date. Could you imagine if you got that letter and the date was coming and you're in Ukraine and Russia invades? How secure is that? There is nothing this secure, nothing this guaranteed. And so there is no message that can sustain and give perspective in this life, no matter what goes on in it. The last verse. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Therefore, based upon all this and what came before it, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and all that that means and all that that has secured, forgiveness of sin, a real hope, a future, spiritual, lasting body, the kingdom of God. Therefore, in light of all this, which is secured by Jesus having been raised from the dead, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain. Why? Because he's not dead. I can work all I want for the sake of Buddha. He's dead. I can work all I want for the sake of Muhammad or whoever else, but they're dead. I can work all I want for the sake of in the name of that good moral teacher who was an example named Jesus, but if he's dead, he's dead. But in Christ, by grace through faith in him, anyone can be saved. And through his resurrection, we have been raised and we will be raised. And with that life that is coming, that is secured for us now through his resurrection, we can face this life and no matter what goes on it. And not just endure it, though we can have endurance, not just survive, but remain immovable and increasing always in the work of the Lord. Because of the resurrection, we can have a perspective that sustains even through death. And if it can sustain through death, then it can sustain through you fill in the blank. Foreign invasion, deadly virus, market crash, abandonment by your spouse, death of a child. Fill in the blank. There's no other message that can sustain you through that. But this unchanging message can. It's not the British are coming. It's Jesus is coming. He is coming in the body he got when he was raised from the dead. And all who believe in him now can sleep like babies. Live like princes and princesses, because he's our king. He's won. You just haven't seen the triumphal procession yet, but it's coming. How do I know? Because he's been raised from the dead. You kook, what a weird thing to believe in. And what do you say when someone's died? And why do you cling to this body? Because we can't escape it. There's more. We know it. We're deteriorating. We know it. We don't want to let go of this. We know it. There is life. There is life after death. There is eternal life in the presence of the one who made the stars and the heavens above, who makes your lungs work and this intricate eyeball function, though that deteriorates over time too. And to live that life, you're going to need a body that can handle that life. Christ secured it. Forgiveness of sin. Reconciliation. This all brings a perspective. Like Jesus had in the boat in the midst of the storm. What was he doing? Sleeping. Even Jonah slept in the boat, and he was running from the Lord. But he knew that the Lord is Lord, that the Lord is merciful and gracious. That's why he was so mad about Nineveh. Well, mercy and grace has come in a body. His name is Jesus, more than a carpenter from Nazareth. He's the Messiah, the Christ, the Lamb of God, who didn't just die as an example, but died to actually pay for our crimes against God. And that payment has been accepted because he's been raised from the dead. And so in him, we can have life and live in this life. Join me in prayer. Blessed Resurrection Sunday indeed. Lord God, you bring that which is good, that which is blessed, through your Son who willingly gave himself, whom you raised on the third day by the power of your Holy Spirit. declaring him to be your son, descendant of David, truly God, truly man, your acceptable lamb. Father, to you be all praise and glory for that. It is what you, Father, Son, and Spirit have accomplished. May you continue to lavish your mercy upon us by granting each one of us here this morning faith in Jesus raised from the dead. For granting that we who believe would hold fast to that same unchanging message, that in light of what it brings, what Christ's resurrection means, we would continue on immovable, abounding continually more and more in the work of Christ, knowing that it has value beyond this life. Guard our hearts and minds. Grow, strengthen our faith, Lord God. Grant us that which we want, but we don't want it your way, we want it our way. Grant it life eternal with a body. Grant this, Father, to your praise and glory, that we would give thanks to you and reflect your goodness and proclaim Christ with everything that flows off our lips, with every thought on our mind, intention of our heart, every deed of our hands and feet. That through that you would be pleased, we would have a work that is lasting, and that others might come to know of your perfect love demonstrated in Jesus Christ dying. And you're securing that through him being raised from the dead, that more would come to know you as Father and have life everlasting in Jesus, raised from the dead. In his name we pray. Amen.